Genesis chapter 6. Well, let's just begin in verse 8 because that's a good place to start. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt. Now look at this, corrupt before God. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh, now watch this, all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That's important. All flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Now, gopher wood, I think personally the closest thing we have to it may be cedar. Cedar would be a good gopher wood. And any wood that has a close pore, the older it gets, the harder it gets. Cedar would be a good gopher wood. And that kind of would give you an idea. So an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Now we're going to get back to that word pitch. It's the Hebrew word kophar. It's like a tarry substance. It's like tar. And you know if anything about tar, it'll keep water out. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door on the ark in its side. You shall make it with the lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh which has breath, the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of the animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing on the earth after its kind. Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself all of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Seven, there's one animal left over. You know, six is pairs of twos. One animal left over, which was a clean animal, was going to be for sacrifice. You have to keep that in mind. So he brought one for sacrifice. Also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, you've heard that little story. Two by two, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. It appears to me we've had just about the same thing in the last few months here in Itala County. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Translation, it's a universal flood. Okay? The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, that's above the mountains, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beast of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man. All in those whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And may God add his blessing to his word. That's a lot of information. But this is not unfamiliar information to you. You have read this. It's the story of Noah. Now, again, I confused the heck out of you last week about what I talked about, the earth being corrupted. Now, I don't know how it was corrupted. I have no clue. But I know this, that it became unredeemable to God. So he wiped out every man, woman, and child, everything that breathed on the face of the earth. That's the point of it. Let me give you four reasons I think that the earth was corrupted, that the human race was corrupted. Number one, sons of God are noted in Job to be angels. These sons of God, Bani Elohim is what he is in the Hebrew, were angels. And I gave you Job 1:6, Job 2, 1 and 2, Job 38, 4 through 7. Number two, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. Here it comes, for he is indeed flesh. Now I'm wondering, why did he put that in there? Why did he put the fact that they were flesh? He's trying to tell us something here. My translation says, he is yet flesh. He is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. So the way I interpreted that is in with 120 years, he won't be fully flesh anymore. So he becomes an unredeemable race. Number three, rather, there were giants on the earth in those days. Also afterward, now here's an adverb, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. In other words, the Nephilim, the giants, came as a result of that union. These were mighty men who were of old, men of renown, Genesis 6:4. This incredible union produced giants. Giants is translated from the Hebrew word again, Nephilim. The word comes from Nephal, or fallen ones. The earth was becoming filled with fallen ones. So what did God do? He wiped them out. He just wiped them out. And Noah, because he was perfect in his generations, because he was a righteous man, then God set Noah apart because he was yet flesh. He was perfect in his generations He was perfect in his toledoth. Here it is. He was perfect in his genealogical line. Point being, he was not corrupted. So God jettisoned him to another world. Now the whole point of this is God wants to bring his son into the world. And remember, his son is going to crush the head of the serpent. Satan's got to stop that. So how does he stop it? He just corrupts everything. But God countered him. It's like the big chess game going on. Satan moves and God countermoves. Satan moved that flesh to another world, where they could eventually provide, watch this, the Messiah coming through flesh. He had to be flesh, because Adam who sinned was flesh. He had to be the last Adam to be flesh. So God moved him there, but he also moved him there to spread the gospel around the earth, which is his seed. The gospel is the seed of the last Adam, who is procreating a new civilization to live on a new heaven, and in a new heaven and on a new earth. That's what life is all about. That's what we're here for. That's why we're here. That's what's going on here. God is preparing a new civilization to live in a new heaven and on a new earth. Now, I like it this. Here, watch this. We're born into the kingdom, but we're baptized into the king. Can you get that? We're born into the kingdom, but we're baptized into the king. That's spirit baptism. That's heavy stuff. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are amazed at your faithfulness to us. We're amazed at your character. Father, we're amazed at the fact that you are the eternal God. You've always existed. There never was a time that you did not exist. No one created you. You were here before this creation. You were here before this universe. And you brought everything into being for a reason. And Father, you are sovereign over everything that you created. And you have a plan. You began with a plan. And you will fulfill that plan. And Father, thank you for calling us to yourself and giving us eternal life, that we might be a part of that coming kingdom, that we might be born again into that kingdom, because that's the only way we can get there. And we are also baptized into the king, which changes our character. And Father, help us to see that tonight. And thank you for our time. May it prove to be very, very valuable time as we learn from your word. What a magnificent God you are. You are truly the genius of this entire universe. And you put it together. In Jesus' name, amen. Nephal means fallen one. So the Nephilim are the fallen ones. These were the giants that were the product of the angelic realm coming into the daughters of men. Now, again, I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was a demon possession. I don't know if it was a demon corruption, but whatever it was, it moved the heart of a very compassionate, loving God to wipe out every man, woman, and child and animal on the earth, to clean it all up. So that's the point there. Noah's going to be preaching all this time, but he's not going to say a word. He was preaching by building an ark. Isn't that amazing? He was saying a lot as he built that ark. And that's why I think it says, man is yet flesh, and his flesh will be 120 years. Because that's how long it's going to take Noah to build that ark so that he can salvage his sons and their wives and Noah and his family. Those were the only 8 people salvaged. I want you to see that. And he jettisoned them from that world to a new world so he could start all over again. And that's exactly what he did. He did it through Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And he did it through Ham, Shem, and Japheth, who produced 70 nations. Now, when we get there, we're going to go through all 70 of them. But I think it would be fascinating to you. I think you will really see why Japheth. What did Japheth have to do with anything? And Japheth became a part of this Neo-European civilization. That's why Germany, that's why the Martin Luther, that's why all of this happened in Germany. That's why England was a part of it, the Church of England, that ultimately led to the Puritans, which led to the Separatists, which led to the Pilgrims, which led to us. Us. But I think we're the last ditch effort. You know why? There's no more continents to run to. This is it. We're going to have to duke it out right here. We're going to have to fight it out right here. We can't leave. We're going to have to start preaching the gospel as never before, teaching the word as never before. I want to give you some thoughts about the ark, what we had read. God told Noah to build an ark in preparation for a flood, Genesis 6:14. Now, there had never been a flood before. Keep that in mind. Never. That's new. Noah did not have a clue what a flood was. He didn't have a clue what an ark was. But God, nor rain. I'm going to say that in just a moment. He didn't know what rain was. None of that. We can only imagine the conversation, I went over this, that was going on when people came by and observed this old man building an ark. This is the way the questions probably went. Noah, what are you doing? Well, I'm building an ark. Well, what's an ark? Noah said, I really don't know. And he really didn't. Well, why are you building an ark? Well, I don't know. God says there's going to be a flood. Well, what's a flood? I don't know. God is going to destroy everything on this earth with water. That's what he said. And the response was, oh, you don't say. Moving right along. Thinking he was a 100% carat gold kook. That's what he was. He was thought a kook. In fact, all the prophets throughout the ages have been thought a little kooky. But he just kept on building. Kept on building. Now, I said cedar wood a while ago. It might have been cypress. I built my cabin out of cypress for that reason. Cypress, the longer it exists, the harder it grows. The pores of cypress grow harder together. It just comes together really hard. That's why I built that little cabin that way. Because I want it to be there when my grands grow up with that cypress. It may have been cypress that... But gopher wood, we really don't know what gopher wood was. Very few probably took any notice of this strange man building this huge barge. Yet Noah, by faith, believed God. Now this is what it's all about. By faith, he believed God and built an ark to God's specifications. This is Hebrews 11:7, if you want to write that down. The building of the ark became a testimony to the people. It became a visible object lesson that God's judgment was coming. It was time for human beings to repent. That word repent is metanoeo in the Greek. It means to change your mind. To change your mind and turn to Him. Turn to God. And that's 1 Peter 3:18 through 21. The ark would preserve the human race, beings through whom God would take on flesh and come into the world and die for sin. That's what Ham, Shem, and Japheth was all about. Mainly about Shem and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I want you to memorize Shem. I want you to memorize Japheth. I want you to know why Rome, why Greece, why the Medes and the Persians. I want you to know why England, why the Church of England. I want you to know what the Neo-European nations had to do. I want you to, that's Japheth. And then I want you also to know what Ham is all about. Ham is the one who produced ultimately a man named Nimrod and the Tower of Babel and what that was all about. God did it on purpose. He did it to test the faith of the Jews. He said, don't mix with them because they will corrupt you. they will test your faith. And they did. And it was a constant battle. In fact, fully three-fourths of the Old Testament is all about that. One Jewish king rebuilt the altars. He turned from God. He rebuilt the pagan altars. Another Jewish king came along and what? Tore them down. Another one came along, built them back. Another one came along, tore them down. Now you've got an essence of the Old Testament right there. If you read through it, that's what's going on. So God is testing and strengthening the faith of His people through that. And God, through the 70 nations, watch this. God, through the 70 nations coming from Ham, Shem, and Japheth, is raising up through His seed, which is the gospel. This is the second Adam, the last Adam, the second man. The last Adam has a seed. The first Adam had a seed, right? It was a corrupt seed. We're all a product of that. You don't look like it, but you are. Death is written in on us when we're born. It's written in on our, it's already there. We had a human father who passed that corrupt seed down to us. Death spread to all men, for all sinned in Adam. We all sinned in Adam and we died. We were there. We were there in his DNA. If he was our first dad, if Eve was our first mom, then we were there in their DNA. Would you agree? Yes, we were there. So when he sinned, what? We sinned. We sinned in him. Well, that sin is passed down father to son, through corrupt seed. But then along came the last Adam, and he has a seed also. That seed is called the gospel. Remember that passage we went through in 1 Peter? Having been born again, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, that's Adam, but of incorruptible seed by means of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he said, here's the reason. All flesh is like grass, and the glory of man like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God lasts forever. That's his seed. And he's through that seed birthing a new civilization, like I said earlier, that will one day live in a new heaven and on a new earth. That's where we're headed. Isn't that great? So just like God, he jettisoned Ham, Shem, and Japheth and Noah and his family to another world, one day God in Christ is going to jettison us. Isn't that great? To a new world. We're going to leave the planet one day. And we're bound for a new heaven and a new earth. But we got to go through a kingdom first. I didn't mention that, did I? We got to go through a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And we're going to reign with Christ. But that reign is going to be different for different people. And we're developing the capacity to reign right now. Our reign will actually be right now. We're determining that by how we use our spiritual giftedness in the church. That's our investment. We're given gifts. Supernatural gifts that we're to be doing in the church. Because the capacity of your reign will be determined by how we use our giftedness now. And we're making choices. Some of us don't even know what they are. But others do know what they are. And you're doing it. And you will be reigning over 10 cities, 5 cities. This is a real kingdom. And Jesus Christ will be at the helm one day. He will be the king. For 1,000 years, he will reign over the earth, the renewed earth. And we will be there, reigning over different parts of it, depending on how we live now. How important is it to live now the way we should be living? Is that motivation? It motivates me. I want to reign. I want to reign with him. That's important to me. I want to do now what I'm going to wish I would have done when I stand before him. We can choose for ourselves to live our life for ourselves, or we can choose to live it for him, for his glory, for his honor. Building the ark became a testimony to the people. That ark became a symbol. It was a visible object lesson that God's judgment was coming. The ark would preserve the human race, beings through whom God would take on flesh and come into the world and die for sin, and the spreading of his seed. That was all going to be a part of that. That's why the 70 nations, that's why Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and all the nations, because it was through the nations, through Shem, that God would come into the world. But it was through all of those nations that he would spread his seed through all of the nations, the gospel. And many would be drawn to him with the gospel. The gospel is the only power on earth that can give life to the dead. So why should we be preaching the gospel? Preach it. Preach it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Preach it. It's the power of the gospel that saves. It's not us. In fact, the weaker we are, the more powerful God is on our behalf. Sing it. Whisper it. Shout it. Teach it. But get it out there. That's God's seed. You're planting seed every time you do that. And then God germinates that seed. Life returns. I said something about the ark a while ago. It should be translated chest. Like a cedar chest. The ark was a barge designed for floating. It was not a ship made for sailing. It was a gigantic barge. Now some of you are going to go see the ark. It's big. It has three stories. It is huge. And you're going to read a lot of facts. I could give you facts over and over and over and over again tonight. It wouldn't add anything to you. In fact, you can Google it all. But the word ark is chest. It represented the only way of escape from the earth. People were going to be, watch this, they were going to be on the ark and saved, or off the ark and lost. Okay? Every member of the human race, everyone, there would be no other options, no plan B. God always allows time for people to change their minds. In this case, he gave people 120 years. So how many converts did he have? Would that really make an evangelist feel good? 120 years? 8 converts? That's kind of depressing, isn't it? God instructed Noah to cover. Here's what I want you to see. To cover the ark inside and out. Here's the word. Pitch. Pitch is the Hebrew word kafer. Kafer, K-A-P-H-E-R, transliteration. It's pronounced Kippur. Kippur. But Kippur literally means, watch this, it's translated atonement. Now I know you've heard that word. Atonement means covering. So the ark was covered with pitch, kafer. Now, it was a bitumen product. That means it was kind of an oil-based tar product. It was waterproof. And when they put all that wood together, they put in between all the cracks this tar to make it waterproof. That tar was kafer. It was a covering. Ark is not a type. It never says it's a type of Christ. But it's a beautiful symbol of Christ. And the word atonement is covering. But when you read the word atonement in the Word of God, it always speaks of a temporary. It's a temporary covering. The real is the word propitiation, found 5 times in the Word of God. Propitiation means satisfactory sacrifice. Where atonement, Kippur, was temporary. It was a temporary covering for a while. But it was a beautiful symbol of what was coming. Propitiation was when Jesus died on the cross and he paid the price. Amen? Amen? Now before, it was a covering. It was just a covering. People were saved on credit. People in the Old Testament were saved on credit. But the bill came due. Where did it come due? Calvary. And it was paid what? In full. And that's propitiation. Our salvation is really, it's really not an atonement. People who are reformed call it atonement. I don't call it an atonement. Because atonement to me reeks of temporary. Temporary, a temporary covering. Propitiation, on the other hand, represents eternal. When Jesus died, no more animals. Everything was done. It was finished. He was the last one. He did it all. He said, "It is finished. Tetelestai. It's finished. It's done. Your salvation is secure." Now, before, I saved you on credit. I saved you on the atonement. But now, you are propitiated. We're propitiated. We're given eternal life because our sins have been paid for in full. Now, all those Old Testament saints who were saved on credit, they finally got the full meal deal. Amen?
Amen.
When Jesus died, remember those graves that came out when he died? Yeah, that was the Old Testament saints. They'd been waiting, and the bill came due, it was paid, and they came out. Isn't that wonderful? That'll preach, won't it? That's exciting stuff. That's what happened. That's when you see those graves opened and people came out when he died, because their sin had finally been paid. They were being saved on credit, atonement, covering. Well, this word kafir, that pitch that went into the ark, that held the ark together, was the kafir, the kippur, the covering. It's what kept the water out. Christ became our ark. Today, if we're saved, we're in Christ. There's a lot of names in the Bible for Christians. We're called believers. We're called the body of Christ. We're called the elect. We're called Christians, children of God, children of Abraham. And you can probably think of a few yourself right now. But Paul's favorite term for believers was this little phrase, in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. We're placed into Him. He's our ark. And here it is. When we're placed into Him, His life becomes our life. What kind of life does He have? Eternal life. We get our eternal life in Him because we're baptized into Him. That's that word, Spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit places us into Jesus Christ. His relationship to the Father becomes our relationship to the Father. Remember, He's a child of the living God. So what do we become in Christ? The children of the living God. And His destiny becomes our destiny. He's destined to reign over a kingdom. We're destined to reign with Him. Is that not beautiful? See, all of these things happen because this is personal. Now let me give you a quote. Watch this. We're born again, according to John 3, we're born again into the kingdom. We're baptized into the King. Does that make sense? That's fantastic stuff. We're born into the kingdom. That gives us a new home. When we're born again here, we're into the kingdom right there at that moment. Now, we've got a kingdom coming, but we're in the kingdom right now. If you're born again, you're born into the kingdom, but you're baptized into the King. One of them has to do with our position as far as our new citizenship. We become new citizens in Christ, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we look for our great God and Savior the Lord, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the power whereby He's able to work all, to do all things to Himself, to work all things to Himself. It's amazing, okay? So here, our life, our relationship, our destiny is all because that's a personal thing that happens to us. But when we're born into the kingdom, we change locations. When we're born again, we're born into the kingdom. This is what Jesus told Nicodemus. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. That's the new birth. The new birth gets us into the kingdom. The baptism into Christ gets us into the King. Isn't that amazing? With that in mind, the ark becomes our Christ. When we're born again, we're placed into Him. And His destiny becomes ours. What is His becomes ours. That's how we've become children of the living God. Okay, do you have any questions at this point? I'm glad you brought that up. There were three stories, but there's only one door. Only one door. There's only one way to eternal life, and that's through the door, who is Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given whereby you must be saved. Only one way. Jesus says, I am the door. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. I'm the door. God shut the door. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look in verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Remember now, God closed the door and he sealed it all the way to their destination. Could anything break that seal? No. They couldn't get out. Once they were in there, they were in there. Noah had to feed all those animals, take care of all those animals, but they could not get out because God closed the door. Okay? Now watch this. This is talking about being in Christ, but look in verse 13, Ephesians 1. In Him, that's Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed, watch this, with the Holy Spirit of promise. I love that. That word sealed is you're sealed forever in Jesus Christ. And you cannot get out of Him. You're sealed in Him. And only God can break that seal. Isn't that good? Now look in verse 14. Who is the guarantee, the pledge, the down payment? This word is translated engagement ring. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Now watch this next word. It's a time word. Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. We're given an engagement ring by God. We're sealed. And it cannot be broken until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Isn't that great? That's a good place to end, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, we're so mindful of Your grace and mercy to us. We're so mindful of the ark. Not just the ark, Father, and what it was made of and all of that, and the kofar and the Kippur and the covering and the symbol of Jesus Christ, but Father, that Jesus Christ is our ark, and we're either in Christ and forever saved, or we're not in Christ. And Father, thank You that Paul's favorite term for believers was the term in Christ. Paul wrote Galatians, he wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he wrote 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Romans. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. He wrote 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. And over again, he told us, believers, that we are in Christ. What a wonderful name that is for believers. Those who are in Christ. Father, thank You for our teaching ministry tonight. May it bring a blessing to you and shed light upon Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.